إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is another lesson that we're having, reading from the Book of Knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And last week we left off on the chapter of the writing of knowledge. And the hadith that's on the whiteboard was a hadith that we read, so I asked the brothers to move to the following hadith, which is the hadith of the statement of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Even that hadith, the hadith after that. So we read the hadith, or last week we read the hadith, the first hadith of the chapter, as well as the second hadith of the chapter, the third hadith of the chapter, which was the hadith of Abu Huraira, and then we stopped on the last hadith of the chapter, which is the hadith of Ibn Abbas. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا يحيى بن سليم قال حدثني ابن وهب قال أخبرني يونس عن ابن شهاب عن عبيد الله بن عبد الله عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال لما اشتد بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعه قال آتوني بكتاب أكتب لكم كتابا لا تضلوا بعده قال عمر إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غلبه الوجع وعندنا كتاب الله حسبنا فاختلفوا وكثر اللغط قال قوموا عني ولا ينبغي عندي التنازع فخرج ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما يقول إن الرزية كل الرزية ما حال بين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين كتابه. The hadith is as you have in front of you, on the authority of Ibn Abbas, that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم became ill, he said to his companions, bring me a book. And in another narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, bring me writing materials. I will write for you something that you will never go astray after me. And we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not read, nor did he write sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he would order his companions to do so. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, verily the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is affected by his illness. It is very difficult for him. And verily we have the book of Allah azza wa jalla. And then the companions began to disagree. They began to argue amongst one another. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stand and move away from me. It is not befitting that someone argues in my presence. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he left and he said, verily, what a tremendous opportunity, or how unfortunate it is that which prevented the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from writing. This hadith has tremendous benefits, and for one, the fact that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned it in the book of knowledge under the chapter of writing the knowledge. And the writing of the knowledge is clear from the hadith, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bring me, in this particular narration he said, bring me a book. But in other narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bring me writing materials, I will write for you. I will write for you. The scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala, they disagree about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended to write. As it was mentioned by Imam al-Khattabi, some of the scholars, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to write down who would be the Khalifa after him. And others said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to write down some important ahkam so that the believers would know certain things certain things to act upon after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, certain rulings to act upon after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. With regard to the statement, or the first statement, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to write down who would be the Khalifa after him, a similar situation took place in the beginning of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam illness, as we have also in Sahih Bukhari, in the chapter of illness, that it took place that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa rasa." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi actually he said to the companions, "Bring me writing materials," and then he said, "Oh my head, oh my head," and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not write down, or he did not order that the companions write that which he wanted to say, but rather he said, يَأْبَ اللَّهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah and the believers would only accept Abu Bakr. Allah and the believers would only accept Abu Bakr. So this informs a similar situation where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to write down something during his illness, but he stopped from doing it. But the narration that I just mentioned to you, which is also present in Sahih Bukhari, in the book of illness, that narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself did not write it. He himself did not write it. Whereas in the narration that we have in this chapter that we're studying tonight, we have that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which prevented him from writing it was the argumentation of the companions. Was the argumentation of the companions. So this is another benefit that we get from this hadith. And the scholars mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not befitting or it's not permissible for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to delay the clarity in the time of need. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would only abandon writing down this clarification because he felt sallallahu alaihi wasallam that that which had taken place before this time was sufficient. For one, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose several things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Abu Bakr to be his companion in the migration from Mecca to Al-Madinah. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to lead the prayer when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became ill. He chose Abu Bakr. So there were several reasons, and also this narration in Sahih Bukhari, like we just mentioned, in the chapter of illness, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah and the believers would only choose Abu Bakr. So these are several reasons why. These are several reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt it was sufficient, and indeed it was sufficient. This is several reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt it was sufficient. Why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself felt it was sufficient not to write down anything. Why? Because the believers, Allah azza wa jal and the believers would only accept Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And also from the benefits of this hadith, it shows you, the dangers of argumentation. It shows you the dangers of argumentation. And this is not only in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but during his life it was in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise after his death it is in the presence of his sunnah. So if the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, there is no room for argumentation. There is no room for opinions. As Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah Ta'ala said, it is not the way of the believing man, nor the believing woman, if Allah and His Messenger decree something, that they have any say in the matter. That they have any say in the matter. And a similar situation with regards to knowledge being lost because of argumentation in the presence of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took place when? Took place with regards to Laylatul Qadr. Took place with regards to Laylatul Qadr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the night of Laylatul Qadr was revealed to him, and he came out of his home and he wanted to tell his companions, but he found them arguing. He found them disputing, And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was informed of the night, but because of your argumentation, it has been lifted from me, so seek it in the latter part of the month, the odd nights of the latter part of the month, and in another narration, the last 10 days. The last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. So that was another case which took place with the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were arguing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was prevented from something similar to this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to stand up and leave my presence, for verily it is not befitting for individuals to argue in my presence sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, from the benefits of this hadith, it shows that he is a man sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He can have illness. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam can have illness, just like other individuals can have illness. He was a man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was not an angel. He was not a supernatural, being and the likes of that. No, he was a man, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became sick just like other individuals became sick. And also, from the proofs of that is the fact that magic was placed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his time as a prophet. Magic was placed on him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was cured by the recitation of al-mu'awwidat, by the recitation of Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Jibril used to recite over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until he was cured. And it should be known, like the ulama mentioned, that even if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became sick, such as the time of when magic was placed on the Prophet, and likewise during the time of his death sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he would still not say something in contradiction to the legislation. He would still not say something, anything in contradiction to the legislation. Like other ill people, when they become ill, they say things that are strange. They say things which are unacceptable. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is a prophet and a messenger, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never say anything in contradiction to the legislation. Another benefit from this hadith is that Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that the wording of the hadith indicates that Ibn Abbas was present at the time the companions argued. But if you gather all of the narrations, you find out that Ibn Abbas, or it becomes clear that Ibn Abbas was actually not present. But the narrator on the authority of Ibn Abbas is saying that he heard Ibn Abbas mention this hadith, and then he left the masjid saying how unfortunate it was that we did not get the writing of the Prophet, or how unfortunate it was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not get the opportunity to write. So once again, Hafidh Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned that if you gather all of the narrations pertaining to this hadith, it becomes clear that Ibn Abbas was not present at the time of the argumentation of the companions. But Ibn Abbas heard this from other companions, and when he taught it to the tabi'een, when he narrated this hadith to the tabi'een, Ibn Abbas narrated it to them, and then when he left the masjid, he continued to say how unfortunate it was that we did not, or how unfortunate it was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not write down this information. Now, and continuing with the next chapter, is Bab al-ilm wa'idhati bil-layl, knowledge and admonition at night, or teaching at night. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا صدقة صدقة هي ابن الفضل المروزي أخبرنا ابن عيينة سفيان بن عيينة عن معمر عن الزهري محمد بن عبيد الله بن شهاب الزهري عن هند القريشية عن أم سلمة. And Umm Salama, and they have ikhtilaf, is her name Hind or is her name Ruqayya, if I'm not mistaken. وَعَمْرٍ وَيَحْيَ بِنْ سَعِيدٍ عَنِ الزُّهْرِ عَنْ هِنْدْ عَنْ أُمْ سَلَمَةَ قَالَتْ إِسْتَيْقَظَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم ذَاتَ لَيْلَةٍ فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ Glory be to Allah. مَاذَا أُنْزِلَ اللَّيْلَةَ مِنَ الْفِتْنِ What has been revealed? What has descended tonight of trials and calamities? وماذا فتح من الخزائن, and what has been open from treasures. أيقظوا صواحبات الحجر. Wake up the women, yani the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فرب كاسية في الدنيا عارية في الآخرة. It is possible that a female is dressed in this life, but she will be naked. She will be naked on the day of judgment. This is the hadith in this chapter of admonition at night, which comes under giving knowledge at night. This hadith is a tremendous hadith, and there are many benefits. From amongst the benefits, for one, we start from Salama. We have a female narrating from a female. We have Hind al-Qurayshiyya. She is narrating from Salama. And Hind, she's even mentioned in many of the books of hadith. She's even mentioned in many of the books of hadith. She was the type of female that she would study. She was the type of female that would learn knowledge. So she is mentioned in this hadith. Naam. Also from the benefits of this hadith, or if we go continue with the hadith is on the authority of Salama. The hadith is on the authority of Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's mentioned with regards to Salama, and she was the wife of Abu Salama, and she had made hijrah from Mecca to Habasha with Abu Salama twice. Because there were two hijras before the hijrah to Al-Madinah. There was the hijrah to Habasha, which is Ethiopia, the first time. And then there was the hijrah to Ethiopia the second time. Because what had taken place is that the Muslims, they migrated to Al-Habasha, where they would not be oppressed, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent them to a land that was ruled by a Christian ruler, but he was just and he would not oppress the people. And the companions migrated. Then one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was praying with the companions, and when he came to a place of sajda in one of the surahs of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prostrated, and the Muslims who were following the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they likewise prostrated, and the kuffar, they also prostrated. The kuffar of Mecca, they also prostrated in accordance to the prostration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. When the news spread outside of Mecca, it spread that the kuffar of Mecca have entered into the fold of Islam. Why? Because they prostrated. They were overwhelmed with fear of Allah and the likes, so they prostrated. Or for whatever reason. So this news, and obviously they did not have phones, they did not have internet, they did not have the likes during those times. So individuals left from Mecca after viewing and witnessing the kuffar prostrate, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prostrated, and the companions prostrated. So individuals left from Mecca, and they traveled to Habasha. And they informed the companions who had migrated to Habasha that the kuffar of Mecca have believed, and they have entered into Islam, and we saw them, we witnessed them prostrating to the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims in Habasha, when they heard this, obviously they're from Mecca. Obviously they're from Mecca. So they immediately returned to Mecca, only to find that it was not true. Yes, the kuffar of Mecca had prostrated, but no, they did not enter into the fold of Islam. So once again, the Muslims migrated back, and a larger number migrated back to Al-Habasha. Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was from amongst those individuals who did so. She migrated twice. She migrated twice with her husband Abu Salama. Then she also migrated to Al-Madinah, and her husband Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he died. And then she married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was the individual that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach her the dua, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa khlifni khayran minha. She said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to teach me the supplication that, O Allah, reward me in my calamity and give me better than it. O Allah, reward me in my calamity and give me better than it. And she said, so when Abu Salama died, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this to me. He reminded me of this, and I continued to say it until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached me and he married me. Until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approached me and he married me. So she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's also from the merits of this sweet female. She's the mother of the believers, obviously, because she married the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, she has over 300 hadiths. She has over 300 hadiths in the books of hadith, and many of them are in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. So she was a great narrator of hadith, as was the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most prominent of them was Aisha bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Also from the merit of Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha, or that which is mentioned, I should say, that which is mentioned about Salama is she had four children. She had four children for Abu Salama. She had Zainab, and she had Salama, and she had Umar, and she had Durra. So she had four children for Abu Salama, which means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a stepfather. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a stepfather. He had stepchildren from her and from others. He had stepchildren from her and from others. So it is not something which is should be looked down on, nor is it something which should be discouraged that an individual marries a female with children, because it was actually done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last thing that can be mentioned about Salama is that she was the last wife of the Prophet to die. That she was the last wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to die. Naam. So this hadith, it took place that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up at night. And when he woke up, he glorified Allah azza wa jal. And he said, what has been revealed tonight of tribulations and calamity? What has been opened of treasures? This shows you, the scholars say that this shows you that even wealth is a fitna. This shows you that even wealth is a fitna. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَبَلَوْنَاهُمْ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah mentions in the Quran, and we tested them with good and with evil. So this shows you that even something that you would consider to be good, such as wealth, such as property, such as status, this is a trial for the believer. This is a trial for the believer, as we just mentioned in the previous verse. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned what has been revealed of tribulations, what has been opened of treasures. What has been opened of treasures. Also, this hadith shows you that it is legislated if an individual sees something which is fearful, that the individual can glorify Allah. As the Prophet did, ﷺ, he said, SubhanAllah, glory be to Allah. Then what did the Prophet do, ﷺ? He said, wake up the women. Wake up his wives. He woke up his wives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows you, as the ulama mentioned, this shows you that it is befitting for the individual, the husband, to wake up his wives at night so that they can pray. Likewise, from the benefits of this hadith, it shows you that when a calamity, when an individual feels that a calamity is approaching, that it is legislated for the individual to do what? For the individual to pray alone? No, even with his family. It is legislated for the individual to pray, even with his family. And this is implementation of the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Allah Ta'ala says, and seek assistance through prayer and patience. So this shows you when an individual, and this is a benefit for all of us, because you have those individuals that go through trials and calamities. You have those individuals that go through difficulty and sadness in their lives. And what do they do? Many of us, they get on the internet and they start Googling and they start Facebooking and they start Twittering and they start WhatsApping. Type, where is the turning to Allah Azza wa Jal? Where is the turning to Allah Azza wa Jal? Twitter and Facebook and all of these things are not going to benefit you. But that which is going to benefit you is that you turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. Is that you seek assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at times of calamity, at times of difficulty, the Prophet ﷺ would turn to his Lord. And because of that reality, you have the Prophet ﷺ, he even had supplication that the Prophet ﷺ used to say, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from sadness. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from grief. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from depression. So the reality is, that which many of the Muslims have been afflicted with in this life, of turning toward the internet, or turning towards their friends, and turning towards ghibah and gossip. You have brothers and sisters, if they're afflicted with a calamity in their life, They get on the phone and they start talking about the calamity to their friend. They start talking about the husband to the friend. The husband starts talking about his wife to his friends and the likes of that. That is not the way of the believer. The way of the believer is that they should turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. As it was mentioned by Ya'qub alayhi salatu salam, when his son Yusuf was taken away from him in Surah Yusuf, he says, verily I complain about my grief and my sadness to Allah. Verily I complain about my grief and my sadness to Allah. So this is the way of the believer, as it was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this hadith, he said, wake up my wives. Wake up my wives so that they can do what? So that they can pray. So this is an example for us. At a time of calamity, supplicate to Allah. Learn the supplication of grief. Learn the supplication of agony. Learn the supplication of depression. Learn this supplication, for verily this will be your means of salvation in the times of grief and depression and the time of difficulty and calamities in your life. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wake up my wives. And then he said, it is possible that a female is dressed in this life and she is naked on the day of judgment. The scholars, they mention, what did the Prophet mean by that sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He meant, and they have different explanations, they say, some of them say that the Prophet ﷺ meant that you have a woman who is a believer in this life, and she dresses with the apparel, she dresses with the dress of a Muslim, but inside she is weak in iman, she is a hypocrite, she is, you know, she has her sins. So in this life she dresses with the Muslim dress, but on Yawm al-Qiyamah this will become exposed. Her hypocrisy will become exposed, her weakness will become exposed, her sins will become exposed. So that is one of the things that was mentioned. Another thing that the scholars mentioned is that it's possible that a woman is dressed in this life and naked in the hereafter, because in this life she did not dress with the proper Islamic attire, meaning she wore clothing that was not permissible for her to wear. So on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish her for that deed. Naam. But the benefit or the connection of this hadith to the chapter is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up at night and he admonished his family. Not that he spoke ill of them, but he told them to wake up. He told them to wake up. It's time to pray. It is possible that a woman would be dressed in this life, but she will be naked in the hereafter. So the relationship to the hadith, or the relationship of the hadith to the chapter title, is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching his family at night. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching his family at night. The next hadith, the hadith about, also similar to the previous hadith, and that is as-samar fil hadith. And as-samar fil hadith is speaking or teaching, afwan, as-samar fil ilm, teaching after Salat al-Isha. So the previous one is knowledge and admonition at night, because this was actually in the middle of the night. Whereas the other one is after Isha, teaching after Salat al-Isha. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا سعيد بن عفير قال حدثني ليث. And we know ليث, this is Ibn Sa'd al-Masri, so much so that we mentioned his merits in previous lessons, but so much so that Imam al-Shafi'i رحمه الله تعالى, it's mentioned that Imam al-Shafi'i said, Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, he said, I have never regretted missing someone, yani missing taking knowledge from someone, meaning I have not regretted not having the opportunity to take knowledge from someone like I regret Layth ibn Sa'd. And he mentioned another one, Ibn Abi Dhib, Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Dhib. These two, that shows you that Imam al-Shafi'i, even though he was very knowledgeable, he was the Imam of his time, but Imam al-Shafi'i regretted not being able to benefit from Layth ibn Sa'd and Muhammad ibn Abi Dhib. And this Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman, who is Ibn Abi Dhib, he's going to come in a narration soon. He's going to come in a narration soon. But that shows you the tremendous knowledge of Layth ibn Sa'd. Even so much so, we mentioned it previously, that the scholars mentioned that Layth ibn Sa'd was even more knowledgeable than Imam Malik. Layth ibn Sa'd was even more knowledgeable than Imam Malik. So Imam Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى mentioned, قال حدثني ليث قال حدثني عبد الرحمن بن خالد عن ابن شهاب عن سالم عن أبي بكر بن سليمان بن أبي حثمة عن عبد الله بن عمر. And this is a long isnad. And Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qala salla bina an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alayhi isha fi akhir hayatihi falamma sallama qam wa qala ara'aytakum laylatukum hadhihi فإن رأس مئة سنة منها لا يبقى ممن هو على ظهر الأرض أحد. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed with us, Salat al-Isha, during the last part of his life. And mentioning the last part of his life from the benefits of saying that the Prophet prayed Isha with us during the last part of his life, to show you that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even while he was in a state, or even while he was old, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was still teaching his companions. He was still teaching his companions. فَلَمَّا سَلَّمَ. So when the Prophet gave the salams from the prayer, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exited from the prayer, قَالْ أَرَأَيْتَكُمْ لَيْلَتَكُمْ هَذِهِ. Do you see this night? So this is the benefit of the hadith and its relation to the chapter. The chapter is teaching after, or knowledge after, Salat al-Isha. And some might say, but what's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is because we know that in general, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discouraged his companions from speaking after Salat al-Isha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discouraged his companions from speaking after Salat al-Isha, as was mentioned by Aisha and others, that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يكره النوم قبلها والحديث بعدها. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that verily the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to dislike sleeping before Salat al-Isha, and he would dislike speaking after Salat al-Isha. Once again, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that verily the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to dislike sleeping before Salat al-Isha, and he used to dislike speaking after Salat al-Isha. The purpose of disliking to sleep before Salat al-Isha is because it's possible that an individual would miss Salat al-Isha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to dislike speaking after Salat al-Isha because it's possible that a person would become so indulged in speech and talk that they sleep late, and what? It is difficult for them to wake up for Salat al-Fajr, which is also a benefit for us, because we find, and I'm only mentioning this because it is one of the major ills of the Muslim Ummah. In fact, it's one of the major ills of the world, where individuals go on the internet at night, they go on Facebook, they go on Twitter, they go on all of these social networks, and the next thing you know, Salat, they sleep an hour or two before Salat al-Isha, and they miss Salat al-Isha. And they miss Salat al-Isha. Is this the life of the believer? Is this the life of the Muslim? And is that which is upon the believer, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامِ تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to his companions, pray at night while the people are sleeping, you will enter paradise in peace. So the way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before that hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the believers that their sides do not lay down at night. So the way of the believer, يعني تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. The way of the believer is that they stand in prayer at night. They call on their Lord with fear and with hope. So the way of the believer is, at night, we pray. We should pray. At night, we should supplicate to our Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand in prayer at night and his feet would bleed. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Quran, وَمَنِ اللَّيْلِ فَتَتَهَجَّلْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and from the night, فَتَحَجَّلْ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, pray at night to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and verily he is an example for us. Allah said, pray at night. It's possible that your Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, and asa in the Quran, is in fact that Allah would do it. Indeed, your Lord would raise you and give you a tremendous status. So the way of the believer is that we pray at night. We supplicate to our Lord. We read the books. We divide our nights between giving the family their rights, giving our bodies their rights, giving knowledge their rights, prayer and the likes of that. Not that we stay up all night on the internet. Not that we stay up all night on the internet with the hujjah that I'm reading an article and the likes of that, and the next thing you know, we miss Salat al-Fajr. And the next thing we know, we miss Salat al-Fajr. That which you're doing at night of internet and articles is not obligatory. But prayer, which is Salat al-Fajr, in the masjid for the men, at its designated time, and in the house for the women, at its designated time, is something obligatory. So this is a tremendous reminder for the believers. So in this hadith, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Abdullah bin Umar, said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed with us Salat al-Isha, and then he turned around and he gave us benefit. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, Na'am, do you see this night? After 100 years, there will not remain anyone who is present on the face of the earth today alive. And indeed, that took place. You had the companion of the Prophet, Abu Tufayl. And after about 100 years, the last companion of the Prophet, Abu Tufayl, he died. He died, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the benefit of this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even after Salat of Isha, he would benefit his companions. He would benefit his companions. And that is the way of the believer. وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتِ. The way of the believer is that Allah Azza wa Jal makes you blessed wherever you are. The way of the believer, whether you're in your home, whether you're out of your home, whether it's after the prayers or before the prayers, the way of the believer is that which comes from us is khair. We teach the people. We call the people. We remind the people. We educate the people. This is the way of the believer. So let it be your way. Oh Abdullah. Na'am. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا آدم and ابن أبي إياس قال حدثنا شعبة and we know شعبة بن حجاج أمير المؤمنين في الحديث قال حدثنا الحكم ابن عتيبة قال سمعت سعيد بن جبير عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال بت في بيت خالتي ميمونة بنت الحارث نعم عفوا ميمونة بنت الحارث I mentioned that Salama was the last wife of the Prophet to die. That was a mistake. Maymuna bint al-Harith, she was the last wife of the Prophet to die. Maymuna bint al-Harith, she was the last wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to die. It wasn't Salama. Now, so Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, I slept in the house of my aunt. And his aunt was the wife of the Prophet. So Ibn Abbas is related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in several ways. He's the cousin of the Prophet. He's also the cousin of Ali. They're all cousins, yani the Prophet and Ali and Ibn Abbas, all of them are cousins. And also his aunt married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Maymuna bint al-Harith, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa kana nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam indaha fi laylatiha. And the fact that Ibn Abbas is sleeping at the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his aunt is mentioned that Ibn Abbas was very young at that time. He was only 10 years old. He was only 10 years old, and this is from the merit of Ibn Abbas, that he was very diligent in seeking knowledge. And previously we already read the hadith of, Ibn Umar. Likewise, he was very diligent in seeking knowledge, and both of them are from amongst the mukthirina fil hadith. Both of them are from amongst the individuals who had a lot of narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas said, I slept in the house of my aunt, Salama, when she was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَصَلَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى إِشَاءَ The Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ prayed Salat al-Isha in the masjid. ثُمَّ جَاءَ إِلَى مَنْزِلِهِ That shows you that the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ used to pray in the masjid. Because he said the Prophet prayed and then he came home. فَصَلَّ أَرْبَ رَكَعَاتِ And then he prayed four rak'at. So this shows you that it's permissible for you to pray four rak'at at home after you return from Salat al-Isha. ثُمَّ نَامَ Then the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ went to sleep. Then he went to sleep. ثُمَّ قَامَ Then the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ got up. And he said, "Nam al-Ghulayyim." He said to Maymuna, "Has the child gone asleep?" It shows you that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned about her nephew. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned about her nephew, and it's also his cousin. You know, some fathers may Allah guide us all. They're unconcerned. You know, are the children asleep? Have the children eaten? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was different. Did not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enter the house and found one of his stepchildren? He found one of his stepchildren eating, and he was eating in a manner that was not befitting. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ya Ghulam, Simmillah. O young boy, say Bismillah. وَقُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ And eat with your right hand. وَقُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكَ And eat with that from that which is close to you. This was a stepchild of the Prophet ﷺ. So it shows you how the Prophet ﷺ was very diligent in teaching the children. He was very diligent in teaching the children, whether his cousin, whether his stepchild, and the likes. So the Prophet ﷺ said to Maymuna, has the child gone to sleep? Yani Ibn Abbas. أو كلمة تشبهها, or something like this. Ibn Abbas is showing you his diqqa, his accuracy in narrating. He said that the Prophet said, has the child gone to sleep, or something similar to this. And I'm not sure of the exact wording. ثم قام, then the Prophet ﷺ stood to pray. فقمت عن يساره. Ibn Abbas immediately stood up to pray. Now subhanAllah, this shows you the merits of Ibn Abbas. He wants to benefit from the Prophet ﷺ. He wants to pray beside him. He wants to join him. He wants to join him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَعَلَنِي عَنْ يَمِينِهِ The Prophet placed me on his right. This shows you that movement during the prayer for the benefit of the prayer is permissible and it does not invalidate the prayer. Movement during the prayer for the benefit of the prayer is permissible and it does not invalidate the prayer. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed a number of raka'at. And then he went back to sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ibn Abbas heard the snoring of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The benefit of this narration, some might say, how does this join, or how is this related to the chapter title? And that is informing or teaching after Salat al-Isha. There's other narrations, as is mentioned by Ibn Mulaqqin. In his Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, he said there's other narrations in the which were mentioned by Imam al-Tabrani and others, that the Prophet ﷺ, when he got up and he said to Maymuna, has the child gone to sleep, that he sat with her for some time and he benefited her. He sat with her for some time and he benefited her. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he summarized the hadith. He summarized the hadith. So this shows you that the Prophet ﷺ, even after Salat al-Isha, he would benefit his family. These are some of the benefits that we receive from that hadith, inshallah ta'ala. Next week we will continue with our wonderful reading from the Book of Knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari. And we ask Allah ta'ala to make it a benefit for us. And we ask Allah ta'ala to enlighten us with that which we read. And we ask Allah ta'ala to allow us to benefit ourselves and our family members and others and implement that which we have heard. Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.